We're going to be in the book of Ephesians this morning. I want to ask you to forgive me for jumping ahead two chapters. We're in chapter 4, but I'm going to ask you to go to chapter 6 this morning because of the specialness of the day, being Father's Day. We're going to look at a verse of Scripture in Ephesians chapter number 6. Let me start off this morning by making a statement. And I want you to see if you agree with this statement. We live in a safety-conscious society. Is that true? Safety-conscious. How many of you remember when you were a kid climbing above the back seat of the car and riding along in the car in that back windshield area? Many of y'all remember that? How many of y'all remember sitting in your mama or daddy's lap while they're driving down the road? That's a big no-no today, isn't it? Today, you've got these car seats, and in fact, in Celeste's van, we keep car seats in several of the seats, And to have to change those things, I'd rather change two tires than have to change the car seat out. I mean, it's difficult. But we live in a safety-conscious society. How safe you are and how safe you act and precautions you take is dependent upon your cargo. There are certain things that I'll put in the car. I don't care if they fall out of the seat or not. They're not that fragile. But if I was going to pick up Tiffany's wedding cake and bring it to the church, I'd be a little bit nervous about that and want to make sure I was safe, make sure it was secure. But I want to talk to you today primarily to dads, but this is applicable to all parents and grandparents. I want to talk to you, and this is the title of the message, Being a Safe Dad. Being a safe dad. What's the opposite of being a safe dad? Being a dangerous or careless dad. Because what is our cargo? You see in that picture up there, you see what kind of value can you put on a little boy and a little girl? But your little boy, your little girl, I must be a safe dad. Safe because of my cargo. Safe because of what's entrusted to me. There's nothing more toxic and unsafe in this world today. Listen to me. Nothing more unsafe and damaging than a daddy that's not right. A daddy that's not what he ought to be. A daddy who is not an asset but a liability to his children, to his family, to his heritage. I want to be a safe dad. I want you to look at two things with me this morning in this very simple message. The two things that we're going to look at is found in one verse of Scripture, Ephesians 6 and verse number 4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Let that sink in just for a second. Will it hurt us if we read it again? Let's read it again. It's not talking specifically here to mothers. It's talking specifically to fathers. Ye fathers, don't provoke your children to anger, but bring them up, train them up, lead them up in the nurture, that's the discipline and admonition of the Lord. Can you see the two things here that the Scripture is saying to us as dads, but applicable to mothers too, applicable to granddaddies and grandmamas, applicable to any adult who has charge over precious cargo children? A teacher can provoke their students to wrath, to anger. There's positive teachers that you had when you were coming in school, and there were negative teachers. There were those that made an impression upon you, and there's other teachers that were entrusted for a whole year, maybe. My fifth grade teacher, it was her 36th year and was going to be her last year. She should have retired a couple of years before because she was a very negative, mean. And I'm not talking about teachers that made you mind and do right. I'm talking about she shouldn't have been in the classroom. And how many years ago was that that I still remember those things? What does the Scripture say here? I see two things here. Two things I want you to notice with me about being a safe dad. Number one, he gives us a negative command. A command, but it's a negative command. He starts out with the negative. He says, "You fathers." What a privilege. That's positive. We get to be fathers. Can you daddies remember when you first found out that your wife was expecting and you began to think that I am going to be a father? I was going to be, and I became a father when I was 20 years old. Josh was born on our second anniversary, July the 21st, 1975. I was in the delivery room with all seven of our kids, and I had the same response when I held each one of them. I cried. I wept. I'm not meaning I sat there and boo-hoo, but tears flowed down my face. I held that little boy in my arms, and I could not believe I am a daddy. I am a father. So he begins by saying, "You fathers, privileged bunch that we are, to be able to say that we have an offspring, we have one that has come from us." But he gives a negative command. He said, "Don't you dare do this." You know, instruction books, usually when you get something pretty important, it's got an instruction book. Maybe you get a car and it's got a book inside the dash that tells you some things. You better not do these things. And then you ought to do these other things. Here, God gives instruction. Dads, don't be a negative influence in your child's life. He says, don't provoke your child to wrath. Don't provoke your children to anger. What does the word provoke mean? Provoke means that there is an outside influence that picks at something or does something, pokes at something that elicits a negative response. If you or I pick at a dog long enough, it is in the nature of that dog to snap at you. Now, some dogs, you can go further in your provoking because of their temperament, but there is something inside that dog that you can bring out because of its nature. Every child born in this world has the same nature. Though they have different temperaments, they have the same sin nature. We are born, we are shapen in iniquity, the Scripture says. You don't have to teach a child how to be stingy, how to not share its toys. You don't have to teach a child how to lie. You don't have to teach a child how to fight or to get even with someone. Revenge. It is natural. It is in our nature. And here it's talking about a father can do something to a child that brings out of that child an anger or wrath. We have in our world today, in our society today, an awful lot of kids that are growing up angry. And many of them growing up even without a father in their life, but they are provoked for that reason, that their father is not in their life. And their fathers, by virtue of being absent, have provoked their children to wrath. Now, something that I've learned in the past 6 years dealing with those that are addicted, I can't hardly find a person who is addicted who does not have issues in their heart toward their parents. Anger. Some bottle it up pretty good, but there's something missing. And there's that anger there. Some are like a simmering pot on the stove. You don't really know that they're simmering, but they are. Others, they let you know it. They are boiling over all the time and acting out all the time because their parents, their dad in particular, has provoked them to anger. There's a negative command here, and that command is, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't be an unsafe dad by bringing that anger in their life. That's the negative. What's the positive? I want you to notice here the second thing that I want you to see, and that is, a positive command. A positive command. Do you see it in the verse? Verse 4. But bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's the positive. Bring them up. Look at those three words with me there in your Bible. But, and here's the three words, bring them up. What does that mean? How does that look? How does that play out? How am I as a dad supposed to bring them up? It means I'm to take them somewhere where they are not. I am from experience bringing them somewhere where they need to be. I am bringing them, and generally speaking, it's up. A child is born and we say that they grow up. They come up. They are brought up. That's what God says that we are to do, bring them up. That's a process. It doesn't happen overnight. It's a slow process. How many dirty diapers, wet diapers, are they in the process of infancy? Bringing them up. How many prayers should there be? How many stories should be told? How many little spankings or corrections should be given as they're coming up through those toddler years? See, it doesn't happen overnight. It's a process. It takes years. It takes slow, steady progress to do those three words. Bring them up. It takes repetition. It takes rote. It takes reinforcement. It takes care and patience with the child. Now, Daddy, if you're not right, you'll mess this thing up bad. If your attitude is not right, if your heart's not right, if you are somewhere else in your mind while you're right there with your child, you're not going to bring them up positively, but you will affect them negatively. Bring them up. He said, "Preacher, how? I'm stretched to the limit as it is. They got me working all of these hours. My finances are such that, I mean, I've got the pressure on me all the time. And then sometimes I just feel like I can't take it anymore." And yeah, every daddy, you do have a lot on your plate. Every daddy ought to have heavy, heavy burdens when you're raising a family. That means you're walking in the understanding of what's at stake in your life. And so what do many fellas want to do? Scoot. Get out from under this responsibility. Get out from under this heavy weight. Real men don't scoot. Real men stay put. Real men grind it out, gut it out, stick with it. And I might be speaking to someone today that you're sitting there and this is hitting you like a stiletto in your heart. And you might think I'm trying to twist it in your heart. If you have made these mistakes and terrible decisions in the past, there's nothing you can do about that now except repent and get it right now. And then you can profit from what I had to say this morning. Bring them up. How? He tells us. Two things. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Bring them up, you see that in the last part of verse number 4, in a nurturing environment, in a disciplined environment. Now, Daddy, how in the world can you do that if you're not disciplined yourself? See, that's the problem. Kids do like they see. Kids become what they have modeled in front of them. You see, my daddy never sat me down and said, "Son, let me tell you, this is the way you're supposed to treat a woman." Never did that. Did he teach me? Of course he did. How did he teach me? By his example. It's amazing how we pick up things by osmosis. We pick things up just by being in the vicinity. And we begin to pick up things, and I learned how to do a lot of bad things by just watching my daddy. Until a certain point in his life when he got saved. I grew up in a very dysfunctional family. If my dad was here today, he would tell you he wasn't a good father. He wasn't a good husband, especially in his early years. And then after the tragedy took place in our family, I look back now when I was 5, 6, 7, 8 years old, and I think now, 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago is not very long in my life right now. And I remember when I was a kid, my daddy had to be terribly suffering from having his little boy killed in that accident 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago. I mean, how long does it take you to get over something like that? But you see, me coming up, I never thought about that until I became an adult and I look back now at my life. And I say, how? But after my dad got saved and my dad made things right with my brother, and then it wasn't as bad when I was growing up as when my brother was growing up, because he was 12 years older than me. But I've been up all night long on several occasions with my daddy, my mama, my brother, and my brother weeping his eyes out saying, Daddy, why did you do this to me? Why did you do this? And my daddy saying, Son, I'm so sorry. I don't even remember much of this because he was drunk so much. But he said, I know I did you wrong. I know I hurt you deeply. But my brother would say, why did you do that to me? There's some things that it takes years and some things it takes miracles to get over. It takes a touch of God to get over in your heart. But there is hope. There is hope. There is hope. Bring them up in the nurture. That's the discipline. And the admonition. That is instruction, training and instruction. That is warnings and instruction. But the most important words in this, how you bring them up, is in the last three words of the verse. Of the Lord. Bringing them up in the ways of the Lord. In the truths of the Lord. In the principles of the Lord. Bring them up in God's Word. You might say, preacher, there's just some things in the book of Proverbs when it talks about a father and a son and all these different things that he's telling. Some of those things I just don't understand. Well, let me give you a little bit of advice. Do it if you don't even understand it. If it's God's Word, you do what it says. And I guarantee you, it will not harm, it will not hurt, it will help. And it will, there's something spiritual. I almost use the word magic, meaning something that we can't understand. There's something spiritual component that if we do what God says, His Word, it will make a difference. I believe it. I've seen it. I'm living it. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and you won't be sorry. Daddy, what kind of daddy are you? Are you a safe daddy? Have you done your kids good? Or have you been a negative daddy? Negative influence. You say, what do? I've not been there for my kids. I've not done right by my kids or my grandkids. Today is the day to set things right. You know why some daddies and granddaddies will go to their graves never admitting that I was wrong? You know why? Because of pride. You got to sit down with that child or that teenager or that adult child of yours, and you've got to look them in the eye and say, I was wrong. The Word of God has corrected me. I was wrong. And say those hard words, will you forgive me? There's some angry kids, disappointed kids, walking around in grown bodies. There's still a little boy in each of you men. There's a little girl in each of you women. And there's some wounds that can only be healed when you look them in the eye and say, I was wrong. Will you forgive me? Now, if you bottle that up and say, I'm not going to dispense that, you're hurting your own kids. You're hurting your own heritage. There's somebody in our church in this service right now this morning that today they're going to somebody in their family and they're going to sit down and say, I didn't do you right.
Will you forgive me?
When I told this individual just a few days ago, that's what you have got to do. Not meaning I'm forcing you, but I mean do what's right. You've got to go to them, and you've got to get this right. You didn't do them right. You know what the man said? I'll do it. I want to get it right. That's a real man. That's a godly man. That's a man that's going to make a difference in his family that was not done in his own life coming up. Make this a new day. Let's pray. Make this a new day in your life. There's a healing word in the Bible. It's called repent. It's a hard word, but it's a healing word. To repent, you have to admit I've done wrong. Now, if you're here today and you've never been born again, you're not a believer, you're not a Christian, you've not been changed or converted by the Lord, then that's where you start. You can't make amends as an unsaved man fully until you first get yourself right with God. You have to come to Him, but repent. Admit, I am lost, I am a sinner. Jesus, I am believing your gospel, your death, burial, and resurrection. I am your sacrifice on the cross. I need that. I trust you. That's where you must start, at salvation.
I am crucified with Christ.
Set things right today.
Who gave his life to pay the price for me.
Set a new beginning. I want to take just a few minutes. Maybe there's some things that need to be said. Maybe there's some things that need to be confessed or ask for prayer. Make it very succinct, very short, from the heart. But anybody on this side over here has something that you need to say. All right, in this middle section here, Brother Derek.
I have moved on from the rescue mission.
Amen.
Due to the prayers from this church, prayers of my own, and God's will has allowed me to move on.
Amen.
I'm just asking now that everybody in this church please continue to pray for me. Amen. That I'll be able to stay in God's will as I get back to living a normal life again.
Amen. Amen.
And I will just once again want to thank everybody here who's prayed for me and the others at the rescue mission. Mm. I want to thank y'all from the bottom of my heart because I know it's prayer that sustains us.
Yes.
As I've been taught that here and a lot of other things. Mm. And I just want to say thank you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
I just want to thank God first for saving me and for leading me to this church because I was an unmarried teenager when I had Charlie. Mm-hmm. And he didn't have a lot of godly men in his life. He didn't really have any godly men in his life for many, many years. But God led us here, and now he's got you, Brother Rodney, just Eddie, Britt, and just all these fathers that he sent. And because of that, he's going to be a leader in his family.
Amen.
And that just blesses my heart. And he's even my son, my other son, you know, he's an influence now to him.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thank God for that.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Charlie, hold your hand up. This is her son she's talking about. And he's not going to be a leader. He is a leader right now. God is doing some great things in his life. Anybody else in this middle section? Holly?
I want to thank the church for helping Patty and Eddie help me. And thanks for all the prayers. I want everybody to pray for Patty and Eddie as they help me, and also pray for myself and my daughter.
Amen.
And God. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers.
Amen. God bless you. God bless you. We're glad that God allowed them to release you to be back with us today. We've missed you for the last few weeks while you've been up there. Brother Brian?
I guess my story is not a whole lot different than many people, but I think about you a lot too, Eddie, when I think about this. But my two boys, Charles and Joseph, see a lot of things, obstacles they've had to come through in life because of a lot of stupid choices and all that I made. Mm-hmm. And I have asked them to forgive me, and they have. But to me, this is just a door of opportunity for me to humble myself and stand in front of my church family and just kind of be public Amen. With it. That I have asked for their forgiveness, and I just wanted to praise the Lord for the changes that He's made.
Anybody else in the middle section? Ms. Joan?
Well, for many years, I tried to be a mother and a father. I wasn't too good at either one. I tried, but I failed a lot. I made a lot of mistakes. Said a lot of negative things that I shouldn't have and didn't even realize that I was doing. I thank God for this church, for the prayers of this people that show me the truth. And sometimes it's not easy facing the truth about yourself. I love my children more than anything in this world. And I would do anything for them. Mm-hmm. And I never meant to harm them. But the words you say can be just as bad as anything else.
That's
you.
Right.
I have asked for forgiveness for things I've said and done. And I praise God for all of y'all.
Amen. Amen. God bless you, Joan.
A dad, a granddad, a great-granddad, and a great-great-granddad, and I just thank God every day for my family.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you.
Yeah, it's a good message. We can apologize to our children for examples that were wrong. You know, we opened some bad doors, and we may not consider ourselves bad people. Maybe we went through the door and got just inside the door and just messed around in there a little bit. But your kids may go way on in that room.
That's right. That's
a lot further than we go. Yeah. And sure, we can ask for forgiveness. That's the right thing to do. But just like if I was negligent in keeping a dam up, and then all of a sudden a big hole was in it, I can apologize and repent for not keeping that up. Mm-hmm. But now it'll be time to go to work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And repairing the damage and shoring it up and making it stronger than it was before. Mm-hmm. And in our case, we have to let God use us mm-hmm. to repair that damage and let Him work in our kids' lives.
Amen. Amen. It's a good word. This is a new day, a new beginning, another Father's Day. And Mother's Day is important, but I'm going to tell you something. There's something about dads and our responsibility and our headship in the homes. If that's missing, that can be tragic. So everybody today, every father, and wives, support your husbands. They've made a lot of mistakes. I know I have. But if your wife turns on you and will not forgive you and holds bitterness towards you, you're just creating a cycle. Forgive your husband and go on. And let God make the best of it. And He will. He will. Let's all stand. It's been good to be in the house of the Lord today, has it not? Amen. Derek, I sure am proud of you. In fact, I want you to come up here and close us in prayer.
Please bow your heads. Dear Lord, I ask you, this whole church asks you, Lord, to please take these fathers and lead them in the right direction, Lord. I know my father was a good example for me, Lord, and that was only through you. Dear God, we just pray that you're here and you're staying amongst every one of us, Lord, and lead us in the right direction. And let us all be submissive and obedient. In Christ's name we ask. Amen.